I used to get products sent all the time, and I remember one company wanted me to review like their, it was like a travel beauty company, and I really liked their products, and I gave an honest review, but I told my audience, I was like, I think it's kind of expensive. I was being honest, and I was like taking into account my audience. They were kind of on the young end. Like at the time, I was like in my early 20s. So guess what happened? The company saw the video and they tried to sue me. So okay. Because of that, before I even agreed to do anything, I have my list of requirements. Welcome to
The Beauty Boss Confidential.
My name is Ren, and I'm a beauty blogger, new mom, makeup artist, and owner of my own makeup academy in Atlanta, Georgia.
My name is Nalani, and I'm a cosmetic tattoo artist and instructor. I run a busy permanent makeup studio and academy in Atlanta as well, and also manage a small team.
We're two modern women
trying to juggle it all,
from building our empire
to being a wife
and navigating being a new mom,
all while making time for ourselves.
We're here to share with you the behind the scenes
of what it's really like to run a successful beauty business,
from marketing to business strategies
and trying to find that perfect work-life balance.
Let's dive right in. Hey guys, so we're back with another episode of Beauty Boss Confidential. It's Ren and
Nalizzle.
AKA Nalani. And you know, actually I used to call myself like, you know, like we all have our code name. So like I was Renata. So if you want to call me Ren, Renata, it's whatever.
But okay.
Today's topic is something that I wanted to talk about because a lot of us are kind of pivoting our careers and our offerings because of coronavirus. A lot of us are still not at full capacity and we're thinking of ways to bring in income and be creative. So I was on a IG live the other week and we were talking about how to take your business online virtual. So one of the things that you can definitely do if you have some downtime or you're looking to add some new offerings to your beauty business is thinking about getting sponsorships and paid posts. So what I mean by that is to work with companies and brands and monetize it. So I've been doing beauty blogging, YouTube, all that since 2007. So I've grown with the platform. So like it started out just as a hobby, but then I was able to really learn how to make it part of my business and monetize my videos and my posts. So I'm going to share a couple of quick ways where you can start to grow that business. So first of all, like I said, if a company sees value in you, they look at your relationship with your audience, like you have some kind of expertise, like if you're a makeup artist or a brow artist, they might want to promote their product through you through a sponsorship. And this could be so many different ways of doing it. You could post a picture on Instagram showing the product. You could do a video review, a blog post, an IG story. You know, it just totally depends on what the brand wants. And a lot of times you can be compensated for it. So it sounds almost like too good to be true. Like you're like, what, I can get free product and I can get paid for talking about it. Yes, it is totally doable, but you do have to put in the work and you kind of have to be educated about it. So some companies will try to send you free product, but maybe not give you payment. And then some companies will want to pay you to promote a product. So you just have to decide, is it worth it to your brand, your personal brand and your audience, whether or not you think that this product relates to your business, whether you really want to promote it, whether you believe in it. You kind of have to think about the integrity of your brand. And if you decide to go forward with the relationship, there are a couple of things that you should pay attention to. So when I first started on YouTube, I remember like a lot of us were getting products sent to us from makeup companies and it was like so much fun, but then it started to become a controversy and it still exists. People who are watching your videos, your subscribers, your followers, they don't want to feel like they're being duped. They don't want to think that you're just talking about a product because you're being paid and it's like a sponsored thing. You know, that's why I was talking about integrity of your brand. So nowadays, if you do decide to you know, have an affiliate or sponsored post, you have to do something called an FTC disclosure. So the Federal Trade Commission, because of all of the controversy in the past, they are requiring influencers to make sure that the audience knows that it's a sponsored post. So that could be anything from like a hashtag saying hashtag ad, hashtag sponsored, to saying this is a sponsored post on your YouTube video description. But it has to be shown somewhere in, you know, the social media platform. So that way your audience knows that this is a sponsored post. And that in that way, there's some kind of like consistency within the platform. So nowadays, like I just kind of have like some graphics I created and I just like upload them onto my blog. I have like, I just copy and paste my FTC disclosure. Like I'll say whether or not I'm affiliated with the company, whether it contains a sponsored link, whether I'm being paid or not. I just copy and paste them and I stick them right in and I'm good to go. Because if you don't, you can get in trouble from it. You can get in trouble from the company that is sponsoring you and potentially from the government. So no one wants to you know, be in hot water with the government. So just go ahead and make sure that you understand, like, if you're going to do this, you're following the rules. So another thing that I want to talk about is an affiliate program. So an affiliate program is a little bit different. So as opposed to a company paying you directly to do a paid post or a video, an affiliate program is basically like, if I talk about this company and you buy the product I'm talking about, you'll get a cut of it, of the sale. So it could be anything like 5%, 10%, like it just totally depends. But you're not necessarily being paid directly from the company. You're just getting a share of whatever sales that come from you. And usually it's through like a coupon code or a link. So we talked about paid posts. We talk about affiliate programs. There's different ways to make money online using like your social media and your expertise. So now you have to ask yourself, how exactly do I get these deals? You know, like you have your YouTube, your social media set up, but maybe companies are coming to you because they see that you have an organic following and they're sending you emails, or maybe they're not and you want them to. So the first thing that I would definitely say to do is start tagging companies that you want to work with, hashtagging them in your posts. So let's say you use a makeup product and you hashtag that brand, tag them so they can potentially see that you're using it. And, you know, you start to form a relationship with a brand. You can also include your contact information in your bio. So basically make it easy for people who want to work with you. It should be a public page, like on Instagram, make sure your page is public, make sure it's a business profile, and have your email and like your phone number. So that way, if a PR company wants to contact you, it's easy. They don't have to go searching around for it. Or maybe you'll need to make that first step and pitch a company. So let's say you really want to work with a brand and you have a really cool idea. What you need to do is find the PR contact. It might be listed on their website, for example. And have your pitch ready to go. Like you want to show them why they want to work with you. List your stats, list the number of followers, how many hits you get from your website. These are all things you can get on Google Analytics. And then pitch your idea. And you know, if they don't come to you, you can come to them. And the worst thing that will happen will be like they don't write back. But like you have to try, and if you want to get somewhere, people aren't just going to come to you out of nowhere. You have to put the work in. I want to mention also that it's the era of the micro-influencer. So if you think that you're like, oh, I don't have enough audience, like I only have a few followers, now the climate is changing. Companies don't necessarily want to work with the biggest influencers because it's kind of getting a little bit played out. Like those personalities, like they have a million brands trying to work with them. They're really expensive to work with. Sometimes the audience isn't really engaged. But then you have like smaller profiles and, you know, because it's like there might not be as big, they have a very engaged following. The followers really trust what that micro influencer has to say. And it's more of a possibility of really touching base with a customer. So you don't have to have the biggest brand. Like you can just continue to really engage with the following that you do have and have them comment and like to prove to brands that, you know, you still have a good opportunity for them to feature. I will say that continue to post consistently. You know, you want to have good content on your channel. A brand doesn't want to work with somebody who like falls off for 3 months. They want to see consistent pictures, nice quality pictures. Like I said, engagement within your channel. So I know that me and Nalani talked about like, it's crazy because of the Instagram algorithm, the Facebook algorithm these days. There's only so much you can do like to try to get people to look at your posts and gain new followers. But if you work with the audience that you do have, I'm telling you, like the brands will see it and they'll look at the number of like comments back and forth and the likes, and it does make a big difference. So I want to ask Nalani, has anyone ever come to you to work with you based on like, you know, your social media in terms of like sponsorships or paid posts?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten like emails and like DMs, but sometimes I guess that's not like my lane. So I kind of ignore them because for the following reasons, like what if here's my question to you, Ren, like what if someone approached you and then you review their product and you get the product, you review it and you don't like it? Like, how does that work? And that's one of the reasons why I don't do it, because I'm just like, well, I want to make sure that I give like a genuine review. And if I don't like it, I'm going to say I don't like it. And how would the brand feel about that? Like, is that something you guys discussed prior? Like, you have to give a good review? Like, I don't know how that works.
Yeah. So let me tell you what happened back in the day on my YouTube channel. I used to get products sent all the time. And I remember one company wanted me to review like their, it was like a travel beauty company. And I really liked their products and I gave an honest review, but I told my audience, I was like, I think it's kind of expensive, because I was just being honest. Like, I was like, I don't know, like if everybody's budget will, you know, you can afford it. And it's real. So I was being honest and I was like taking into account my audience. They were kind of on the young end. Like at the time I was like in my early 20s. So guess what happened? The company saw the video and they tried to sue me. They threatened they had their lawyer get involved and they were threatening to sue me, blah, blah, blah. They wanted me to take my video down. So I was like super scared. Like it was a huge, like, I was like, whoa, this has never happened to me before. So I pretty much got bullied and I took my video down, but it was like one of the biggest lessons I had ever. So because of that, before I even agreed to do anything, I have my list of requirements. So if a brand wants to work with me, I typed up a document and it's my review requirements is what I call it. So if I get the product, I put how many days a minimum I need to have it before I review it. And I always say a review is not guaranteed. So the reason why I did that is because if I don't like the product, you know, I'm not going to feature it potentially. So if you get something sent to you just by random PR, that happens to me all the time. Like my address kind of floats around different PR companies. If they send it to me to review and they didn't pay me because it's not a contractual relationship, I don't have to like the product. You know what I mean? I can give my honest thoughts. I'm like, I think this needs improvement, blah, blah, blah. I'm not the type to like bash a product just because I don't think that's professional. So either I'll give like constructive feedback or I just won't review it because it's just not worth my time. But if I do go into a review and it's like a paid review and we have a contract, then that's when I have to say, hey, this is my opt out, whether or not I want to continue it. And if I don't want to review the product, either I just don't or I send the product back. And that's how you get around that.
Okay.
So it's a thing because, you know, people don't want their products out there and like have them be bashed. But then some companies are really good about it. And they're like, hey, you don't have any obligation to review it. But I'd love for you to try out the product. And if you like it, and you want to mention it, that's cool, too. You know, so I have some companies do that. But yeah, that's why you kind of have to hear all these stories from other people who have done it. So that way you don't go into it and try to get someone try to threaten you with legal jargon, like how I did when I was young, and be scared off of it. You know what I mean?
So the contract could be whatever you guys negotiate, right? Is there like a typical contract, or it just depends on what they want out of it and what you want out of it?
Yeah, it just depends. Some companies go through their own, like their own department to do it. Some companies have like an affiliate program that manages it. But usually, like, it completely depends on the brand. You just have to specify what do you have to deliver, what the timeline is, what the payments are, you know, and any other things, like if they need you to insert any links or blah, blah, blah. And like, you just have to see if the terms are something that you agree with. But yeah, it's completely different. Like some companies, like I said, have third party companies that handle it. And that's become really popular nowadays. So there might be like a whole like online system that you go through and you just like enter your information and that's the way it's done. It's like streamlined. And other ones, you just get an email and you work directly with that PR contact with the company.
Got it. So out of like the sponsored posts and affiliate marketing, like which one do you like best and which one can make you the most money?
No, I prefer to do sponsored posts because a lot of companies want you to just do the affiliate codes where basically they'll give you a coupon code and they'll track how many sales you get and they'll give you that percentage of sales. But I've actually heard of other influencers say this, that if I'm putting time into this review, like I'm taking pictures, I'm scheduling posts, like I'm actually trying the product, I need to get paid for my time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, yes, we can do an affiliate program as well, but I need to make sure that I get compensated for the actual review too. So you want to get paid for that. And the affiliate program is kind of like a bonus. But I will say like the affiliate program that I use all the time, and it's not really one brand, is Amazon's affiliate program, which is Amazon Associates. Have you ever used them?
I've heard of them. I looked into it. I don't know what's holding me back. Sometimes I do want to be on YouTube and get in the whole like sponsored and affiliate life. Yeah. But it seems like a lot of legal things. I don't know. I just haven't like dedicated the time to research yet. Maybe you could help me to the side.
The reason why I said Amazon is because it has nothing to do with YouTube. It's like, so everybody buys stuff off Amazon, right? It doesn't have to be anything specific to beauty. It could be like, I bought my pots, I bought my organization tools. You feature items that you just love. Like, you know, like you showed that shoe thing on your IG.
Yeah.
Store. So basically all you would do, and this is like the first baby step that anyone can do, even if you don't have a blog or YouTube, I'm assuming you have an Amazon account. So once you have your Amazon account, there's a program called Amazon Associates, and it's on the top left corner of the Amazon homepage. You sign up for an Amazon Associates account, and basically all you have to do is you create a page and you can link all the products that you like. And if you ever mention a product, you can either put the link to the Amazon product through that page, or you can send a link to your storefront. And on my storefront, I have like baby products I recommend, beauty products I recommend. I added a new one with like COVID products I recommend. Mm-hmm. And anytime someone buys from your link, you get a cut. So like, that's it. Like you put the one link out there and it's done. And like, I just get sales every month from like random old links from like things I've mentioned, like travel favorites, because I'm like really big into like travel packing. So it's so easy. Like you don't even have to have a YouTube or whatever. Like let's say you did an IG and you mentioned that shoe rack. You would just be like, hey, like swipe up and here's the link to the shoe rack. And if someone buys that shoe rack, you don't really care if they buy it or not. But if they do, like you get a cut of it. And it's like super duper easy.
Right. Another thing too, Ren, how much time do you spend a week for sponsored or affiliate marketing?
That's completely, it just depends on what brand relationships I have going on at the time. But I always make sure to cross post. Anytime I'm mentioning a product, I always take the time to do the affiliate links through Amazon, and I cross reference it like on my blog and my social media, because that's like easy free money. So I don't even think of it as like a separate thing. It's kind of built in as my life as a blogger and a YouTuber. But like, if you are doing this like for like your personal, like as like a personal lifestyle type of thing, it literally takes seconds to generate a link and share it. Mm-hmm. If you think of it that way. So like you can dedicate as much time as you want or just a little bit, But once you start seeing like those clicks and you start getting that automatic check each month, come like deposit into your bank account, mm-hmm. you're going to be like, why not? You know, like, why not? So like, if I was you, what I would do, I know you said you don't really want to monetize the organization thing, but I would just spend like 10 minutes and like go to your orders on your Amazon and what you really liked and just add them to your Amazon page and be like, this is what I like. And then include it in your Instagram bio, you know, mm-hmm. like people are like Amazon favorites. Like people do those videos all the time because everybody loves those videos. And then that's it. So if someone like happens to click on that link and you're, that's it, that's that one step and you don't have to keep promoting it, because sometimes you don't want to shove things down people's throat. You don't want it to be a hard sell. If you like it and you're like genuine about it, people will see that and they'll be like, oh, I want to try that. Especially if it's like a good price and it's not anything outrageous. That's another thing. Like I only review products that are within my brand or some things that I really would use. Like I get so many offers for random things. I don't review any diet teas. I don't review like random like lingerie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like things that I think like are have nothing to do with like my brand or my personality. I'm like, it's not worth disillusioning my audience. Cause I remember back in the early days, another thing that kind of stuck with me was that when companies were sending me products, like some of my viewers literally just unsubscribed. They're like, oh, I feel like you're selling out and you're just doing it because of like, you're getting paid to talk about it. And I was like, oh no, that's not what I'm about. So then I actually like, I don't really do a lot of YouTube reviews anymore because of that, because like mm-hmm. that audience wasn't feeling it. So I just kind of save it for like links or like my blog and stuff like that. But that's just like a personal decision I decided to make.
Okay. I have so many questions on this.
A lot of people ask me like, they'll ask me like, how do you get paid doing YouTube? You know,
that was one of the questions I forgot to ask when you did your YouTube podcast. Like, how does that work?
Yeah. So, I mean, the bottom line when it comes to YouTube is that either you get paid from the number of views. So YouTube has their partner program. So the partner program, you get qualified after a certain number of subscribers, you can apply. And basically, you can include ads into your channel. So it's really simple. Like you can decide whether you want the ad in the beginning and the end, or they automatically just pick a format for you. And based on the number of times people watch the ad, how many people watch the video, you'll get revenue from it. But really, like, unless you have like millions of subscribers, that's like chump change. Like it's like very small. So the best way to actually make money is through sponsorships. And if you have a product that you can promote, like if you have your own business, and then you can kind of engage with your audience that way. So I treat YouTube as more of a platform to like network with other brands and make like business deals, as opposed to just because I'm an influencer and people are watching my videos, like to get paid for that, because it's so congested in that sense. Like I don't have 15 million followers, so I'm not going to make like $10,000 a month on YouTube videos. But when I'm working with companies, like because I have a YouTube channel and this and that, like they think of me more of an expert, and like it's just kind of like adding more value to them on what I bring to the table.
So you're using it kind of like for leverage, pretty much.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to say like in the early days, like 2007 to 2012, before it was like super duper saturated, like I was kind of a big influencer. Like I was like one of the few who kind of started out early in the game. And back then I was making a lot of money off YouTube alone. But then, you know, you have to pivot. And this is something like I remember talking to Mimi J about, like life changes and like you can't count on the same old stuff. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't put all my eggs in one basket anymore. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's not all about YouTube, but I continue to maintain that platform because you do need consistency. Yeah, but it's not like everything. So I do it for like the leveraging, and also because I actually do enjoy doing it. But if I don't want to talk about something, or I feel a little burnt out, like it's not like my everything, because I have multiple streams of revenue in beauty that are kind of combining together. Does
so
that make sense?
Yeah. So it's kind of like your passion project.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so like, yeah. That's why it's so great. Like, as you know, me and you as entrepreneurs, we actually enjoy doing it. Like this podcast. So like, it's like such, these are topics that we're really, really passionate about. And it's like, it's kind of like work, but it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they all benefit us. So even though we're not being paid to like talk about this topic, it's also like great for, you know, leveraging for our business expertise, and we can reach new people and maybe in the future do things with it. But we're doing it because we love it. But it's still going to benefit our business in the end.
Yeah. I feel like when you start off doing things and you're not getting paid for it, you know that it's something you really enjoy. Because, right. I mean, I did makeup for free. I did brows for free at one point. So mm-hmm. you never know where it's going to take you. So with me, right, I have a permanent makeup studio. I'm promoting, you know, my brow work, the junior artist's brow work, my classes, my products, and my trainings. That's a lot of stuff to promote. If I throw in a coupon code with some random organization house stuff, do you think that that's mm-hmm. too much for my audience? And do you think I should start a separate page for that?
That's a really good point. So I will say that I took a social media course, and they told us that you have to, if you have a page, you need to keep it to 3 interests or less. So if you do beauty, you travel, and like something with food, like that's it. You can't throw organization in there. You know what I mean? Like the 4th one, organization, is not in the top 3. So you pick your top 3.
Yeah. So it's a no.
Yeah. But you'll be surprised. Like, you'll definitely have a crossover. So if you like start a new page, if you want, no one's saying that you have to, because this is something, it's a hobby that you enjoy. It's not, you're not necessarily monetizing it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to start like a lifestyle page, and I think you did, right? Didn't you start like a travel page?
Yeah, and then COVID happened.
Milani's personal page, not beauty bot, like something like with your lifestyle, that could totally be the place for it, and it's more appropriate, and it doesn't confuse your current audience who's more interested in like the brows and all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, I gotta think about that one, because I'm trying to be present lately, so I've been living instead of I gotta think about that. But I do want to pivot online some way somehow, and it comes and goes as far as like me wanting to be more into the YouTube and affiliate marketing and sponsored kind of life, but I don't know yet. I'm too busy as it is, but it's a good idea though.
I do think that you have to make it work for your business. So everybody has their different way of doing it. I don't think everybody can be a YouTuber and blogger, because not everybody has the time or the dedication towards it. And it's like almost like a full-time job, but you would probably be smart about your business and incorporate affiliate marketing somehow. So if you have clients that you've trained who have opened their, you know, your students who have opened their new business, and if you could potentially create your own affiliate program. And if they're like using your goods and they're selling it to their customers, for example, or they're training other people mm-hmm. and they use your products, like your beauty bot products, like you can make that an affiliate program. Or if you have students who recommend your class, you know, you can track it, and then they get a cut of the sales, but you get more sales because they're also more motivated to promote it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I think we did look into that at one point, and I don't know what happened with that. So I'm going to
open that. It's like a million ideas, right? There's so many things that you could do. Yeah. I mean, at least you're aware of it, and like you're thinking, you know, because like who knows what can happen. Like this COVID thing totally threw people for a loop. So that's why I thought it was a good time to mention this. Like if you have downtime, like luckily you're open and you're booked, but there are some artists who are just not working right now. You know what I mean? Mm. So they have to think about new creative ways to make income from home.
Mm. Interesting. I'm curious. When I'm not organizing, I will look into this.
I know it's another thing that on our plate, right? Yeah. But yeah, I will say like, you guys, I know this is like a very loaded topic, but hey, if you have the time, hit me up. I'll spend some time like counseling you. Like we said, this is our family, Beauty Boss Confidential. Like you can reach us on social media, online, and like we want everybody to grow their own beauty businesses. So if I can share some wisdom offline, I will definitely do that. So
that is free business coaching.
Yeah, I know, right? So if you're free. Not listening, if your friends aren't listening to this free business coaching, you guys need to tell them. Yeah. All our podcasts. That's why I tell people online all the time, like, this is free training, business training, y'all. And we're doing it just because we're passionate about it.
Yeah.
So thanks, Nalani. Thanks, everybody, for listening. So until next time, stay cute and confident. Hey guys, it's Ren again. I hope you're enjoying today's episode. I want to let you guys know, if you're really interested in becoming a great makeup artist and building your business, definitely check out my Industry Makeup Academy online course at www.onlineima.com. There's a whole section on entrepreneurship, of course, as well as technique and everything you need to be a great makeup artist. So definitely check it out, onlineima.com. Thanks for joining us on the Beauty Boss Confidential.
If you love this episode, go ahead and screen record your favorite part and tag us on Instagram. I'm Nalani at BeautyBot.
And I'm Ren at Makeup by RenRen.
We would love to hear from you.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. And please give us a 5-star rating and tell all your beauty bosses.
Thanks again for tuning in.
And we'll catch you next time.